Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for life that you give us through your word. And Father, we just pray that you would give us understanding of what it means to have faith, God. So Lord, we just put our trust in you. And Lord, we just give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The peculiar thing about faith is that it's difficult to define. But the fact is, we all have faith in something. There's a pastor that kind of put it this way. Faith is the heart of life. You go to a doctor whose name you can't pronounce, and he gives you a prescription that you cannot read. You take it to a pharmacist you have never seen, and he gives you medication that you do not understand, and yet you take it, believing that it will help you and that it will help you get better. And so that's interesting because it's sort of a silly example of living in faith. You know, we do things even though we don't fully understand. We go to a doctor. He gives us a medication that we can't read or understand. You know, and he gives us medication, and we just believe in faith that it's going to heal us and help us. The fact of the matter is, every day we cannot. Every single day, we cannot live life without faith. For example, when you turn on your light switch in the morning, you have faith that it's going to turn on. You know, when you walk the street, you have faith that you're going to make it to your destination without getting hurt. When you mail a letter, and in fact, I get very nervous because of the postal system, not only here but in the U.S. or wherever. You know, just. I'm always wondering and nervous and anxious, is my letter going to get to where it needs to go? You know, I'm always afraid or anxious that it might get lost. And then, you know, usually it's important documents that you like to mail. But you have faith that it's going to get to where it's going to go. The value of our faith not depends on our ability to believe, but the value of our faith depends on the object in whom we believe in. And so that's very important. That's very critical. The object of our faith is what is critical that determines the value of it. For example, in spiritual faith, Buddhists they have faith in Buddha. Muslims they trust in Allah. Hindus believe in many many gods, various gods, thousands of gods. Religious people they put their faith in their ability to keep the rules, to be good enough, to satisfy God, or to you know to build up good karma, whatever. Even people who claim that they have no faith actually have faith. They still live by faith. It takes faith to not believe in God. You have to have this belief or faith that there is no God. And so everyone lives in faith. And so here we are now in chapter 11, which is the famous faith chapter. And I just want to go a little bit over about what faith is and what faith is not. And so in verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to start at the end of that verse, the conviction of things not seen. We believe in an invisible God, yet our faith is the conviction, is the unwavering belief in things not seen, in that which is invisible. Many people struggle in belief in God because he's invisible. And because it's invisible, there's no sort of a tangible movement, per se. But just as Billy Graham gave the famous example that the evidence of things not seen is like the wind, where we can't see the wind move, but we see the result of the wind. We don't see the wind move, we don't see it, but we see the leaves rustling or moving. And obviously in our most recent typhoon, we see the evidence of the typhoon. We can't go outside and see the typhoon, but we see you know, trees and debris moving and things like that. And the same is true with faith. Our faith is in a conviction that we cannot see. And many people have a hard time believing in invisible things. But the one thing that I can think of that we believe in that we cannot see is air. If you were to ask a normal person, do you believe in air? A normal person would say definitely they believe in air. You know, whether it's they've been educated through school or whatever. But we all know that without air, which we cannot see, we cannot live, and we breathe it. We know what bad polluted air looks like, and we believe it. And so yet when it comes to believing in God, which is invisible, people have a harder time. I'm not sure why, but it's a choice that they have made. They have made a choice to have faith in not to believe in God. And so faith is the conviction of things not seen, and also it is the assurance of things hoped for. The question is, what do we put our hope in? Do we put our hope in our circumstances getting better? Do we put our hope in our future? Or what do we put our hope in? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And so that object of the things that we put our hope in is important. And our faith needs to be in a person, in Jesus Christ, that, as I mentioned before, faith is only as valuable as the object that we put our faith in. And so faith is the assurance of the things we hope for in the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, who is faithful, as we mentioned this week, that he's faithful to do what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says, and the conviction of things not seen. This concept of faith is huge, but A.W. Tozer has an interesting explanation of this verse. He says, faith is seeing the invisible, but not the non-existent. In other words, some people think that faith is believing in this thing that is not there. And so they would accuse Christians that you have faith or belief in something that doesn't exist. Well, faith is not putting your belief in something that doesn't exist. Faith is putting your belief in something that is actually there and which we cannot see. So our faith means that we keep our eyes on God who controls circumstances, not on the circumstance itself. 2 Corinthians 5:7 puts it this way, we live by faith and not by sight. And that seems simple enough, but for many reasons, people get all kinds of misconceptions of what faith is. And so I just want to finish our morning by talking about a couple things that biblical faith is not. Number one, biblical faith is not a blind leap in the dark. People would accuse that you know as Christians we have blind faith, that we're just believing out of blindness and not being aware of logic and things like that. Some people think that you have to ignore logic and reason in order to believe in God. But the fact is that believing in no God requires even greater kind of faith and things like that. And so atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, they may put their faith in words or sounds or nature or things like that. But if you look at evidence, scientific evidence, there's scientific evidence for both. Belief in God, belief not in God. Science consistently shows that order does not grow out of chaos. Right, if there's chaos, order doesn't come out of it. And so we believe that design points to a designer. And so in Hebrews 3:11, by faith we understand that worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In other words, the Christian faith is compatible with logic and reason. It's based on historical evidence. It's surrounded by biblical record, by personal testimonies, by our own experience. The world was into being by God's command, by his word, and so that what we're seeing was not made out of what was visible, but what was invisible, which is God. That verse is saying what is seen, this world is made by not what was visible, but what was invisible, saying that the world was made by God, and it's by his word. What D.L. Moody says about faith in God's word is that he says, I prayed for faith and thought someday that it would come down and strike me like lightning, but faith didn't seem to come that way. And then one day he reads Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And this time he closed his Bible, he prayed for faith, and then he opened his Bible again, he began to study it, and because of the word of God, his faith began to grow. And so for us as believers, our faith grows by hearing the Word of God, by the Word of God, by reading God's Word, that it's not just blind logic or blind belief. It comes from the understanding of truth, and that truth comes in the person of Jesus Christ. That our faith comes through a person and not by something that is invisible or something that defies logic. Another misconception of faith is that we can make God do anything that we want. And I think this is a huge sort of misconception that believers have, including leaders and things like that. Our faith is not the ability to manipulate God. I think a lot of us have the misconception is that if I have a lot of faith, God will do what I want him to do. And if he doesn't do what I want him to do, then I must not have faith. Right? In fact, we're taught in churches that you have to have faith and then God can move mountains. And so we equate what we want God to do as having faith. But faith is not the ability to manipulate God. Right? Faith is not some magic potion or medicine. It's not a you name it and claim it. I have faith and so name it and claim it. Because that kind of faith will not outlast your first disappointment. And when you don't get things you want, when a loved one is not healed or promotion doesn't come through or some unforeseen tragedy strikes, then what happens is that your faith crumbles. Right? When you put your faith in this ability to manipulate God to do what you want and you don't get what you want, then all of a sudden your faith crumbles. Many of us have friends who are strong believers and Christians and somehow their faith crumbled and now they don't believe in God anymore. They left church and things like that. They probably had a misconception of faith. They probably thought that faith means that I can manipulate God to do what I want him to do for my life, that he must to conform to my will and what I want. And if it doesn't happen, then our faith crumbles and we lose faith. But biblical faith does not believe that God will do what we say. Biblical faith knows that God will do what he says. God will do what he says. And by faith, we rest on the promises of God no matter what happens. That even when we're going through difficult circumstances and trials and things like that, we rest on the promises that he will be victorious in the end. That he is in control of all things. That he knows the plans that he has for us. That he is able to cause all things to be good for those who love him. So faith is not this force or superpower that we can manipulate God. And the last thing, last misconception that I want to talk about is that faith, the misconception is that many of us think that faith means that we have to know all the facts and the rules and get it right. But faith is not an adherence to a list of doctrines. But biblical faith comes down to having a relationship with a personal God. And so in the Old Testament, we see that God is often referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is this significant? Because God is a personal God. Our faith is represented by the relationship that we have with God. And so in the Old Testament, they'll say, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Eugene. This is the God of Sam. This is the God of Monica. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That faith is not ticking off all of the rules and knowing all the rules and making and keeping them right, but it's this relationship. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If you want to know who I am as a person, well, I can give you my social security number, I can give you my address, I can give you my bank account number, I can give you my age, my height, my weight, I can give you my body mass index if you're interested, you know. I can give you all of these facts about myself if you want to know who I am. But you don't really know me unless you know the relationships that I have with people, that I'm the father of Elijah, the wife of Carol, that I'm a pastor at Solomon's Porch. If you want to know who someone is, you have to know the relationships that they are a part of. And when you know the relationships that they're a part of, then you spend time with them and you know the people that person cares about, then you get to know them a lot better than your address or facts about them. And if you want to know who God is, you need to look at the people that he cares about, that he cares for, and the people who care about him. Faith is not keeping rules and facts. Faith is seeing the relationships that that you have with God. And so this morning, as we come to a close, I want us to understand what faith is as we build faith, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. And as we increase our faith, it's not this idea that we're going to manipulate God, but increasing our faith is believing in God who says who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And so as we pray this morning, as we spend some time in meditation, if I could ask Janella to come up, as we do that, I want us to sort of ask the Lord to reveal our faith. Is our faith in circumstances? Is our faith in things? Or is our faith in a person? Is it our faith in Jesus Christ? We can have the assurance that our faith is right, even though we cannot see, even though our faith is invisible. We can have the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So this morning, as the Word of God, as Hebrews 11, 1-3, as we meditate on that, Hebrews 11 continues with examples, and maybe the next time I'll share, we'll look at the lives of the names, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, and what credited them as faith, as we look at the rest of chapter 11. But as we meditate on 11, may faith arise, because the Word of God is true. And so may it be a part of your spirit this morning. So let's bow our heads. Lord, through difficult times, we struggle with our faith. And Lord, maybe it's because we put our faith on our surroundings. But Lord, you never change. You are the solid rock on which we stand. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you are faithful, that you are loving, that you are merciful, full of grace, abundant in riches. Lord, because that's what your word says, and we stand on your promises. Lord, I pray that your word would build faith in our spirits and in our hearts. God, that no matter what we're facing today, God, that we have the faith that you are alive and well, that you are working strongly within us. Lord, your word resonates when you say that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. God, we thank you for this faith. We honor you and we worship you. Let's worship together as we sing the song. Thank you. faith, begin to pray and intercede for our community. Let's ask the Lord for healing over those who are sick with cancer. And let's ask God to just give mercy and grace to them and loved ones. And so let's pray for those who are suffering with cancer, and maybe even those that are not on the screen, but those that you know, your loved ones, or friends or family. Let's lift them up in prayer right now. For those loved ones who are sick but aren't saved yet, and let's lift them up in prayer, and let's also pray for family members of your own that are still not saved, and let's ask the Lord to bring salvation. Let's pray for healing for those that are on the list. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for those with other illnesses and ask the Lord to bring complete healing and recovery to them. And so let's lift them up now. Pray for those looking for jobs and employment, and ask the Lord to bless them and provide for them. And so let's lift them up right now. Pray for our mission focus this morning. Let's lift up North Korea, South Korea, Japan. Let's ask the Lord to that His word would go forth, that the light would shine in the midst of darkness, that the oppressed would be freed, and let's pray for freedom to the captives. So let's lift them up right now. Let's lift up our IP team, our Well ministry, our Cascade ministry, and also Hospitality Ministries, Welcoming and Barista. Let's ask the Lord to bless them and use them powerfully. And let's ask for protection against any backlash of the enemy. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Let's pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church, for Pastor Choi. Let's pray for their spiritual growth and unity, and that they can be an influence in the Korean community here in Hong Kong. So let's lift them up in prayer. Let's pray for Soho House Church that is meeting today. Let's lift them up and ask the Lord to bless their time of fellowship, that they would grow closer together and grow closer to the Lord. And so let's lift them up. Father, we thank you that you are who you say you are, and that you will do what you say you'll do, God. And we put our faith in you. And so, God, we just give you this morning. And, God, we want to seek your face, God. More than anything that we want or desire for ourselves, God, we just want to be with you, and we want to hear your voice and know your heart today, God. So, Lord, give us your presence today as we go to our workplaces, God. Give us your presence, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for our India team as they're going out today. And so let's lift them up in prayer. I encourage you to stay and spend some time with the Lord. And have a wonderful day.